Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, and your friends, you're all staying strong and healthy right now. We are happy to have you here with us today, and you know what? You're not just halfway through another week. No, you are halfway to another weekend in which we are going to have real live football. Not preseason stuff. No. Real college football games. Do you realize that this weekend, this Saturday, we have Navy facing Notre Dame, and that game is actually taking place in Dublin, Ireland? That's not bad. I mean, I think Notre Dame wins that pretty easily, but that's not bad. We also have San Jose State facing Southern Cal. Now, we're hoping with the weather and everything out there that that all still goes off as planned. But it has been a long time coming, and college football is finally here. Hey, before we jump in today, just real quick, want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com each week. If you missed a podcast, you missed a video, or you want to go buy some Daily Dose gear, make sure you stop by over at DailyDoseSports.com and get exactly what you need. Hey, today on the show, we've got a jam-packed show for you. And yes, it is heavily flavored with college football because today we will be joined by the president of the Daily Dose I-Team. Yes, I am talking about Big Rob, and we are going to be breaking down the entire college football season. We're going to preview the major conferences. Are there any teams outside of those big five conferences that might make some noise? We're going to make our picks for the Heisman, and we're going to make our picks for the final four-team college football playoff. We have that all right now for you on the Dose, and we can't waste any more time. We've got to get into that right now. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, a longtime friend of the show, a longtime friend of mine, and acting president of that Daily Dose I-Team that finds those stories no one else can find, Big Rob is joining us today to preview the 2023 college football season. Rob, it is that magical time of the year that you and I both love, and I'm so happy football is back.
It is. It is. Been waiting for this all summer. It's finally here, and yeah, looking forward to it for sure.
Me too. We actually have real live college football games coming this weekend. I can't wait for it. Should be very, very fun. Rob, before we get into conference previews and we're going to make predictions and we're going to let everyone know exactly what's going to happen before it ever happens, the way we always do, the world of college football is changing constantly. We have teams jumping around from conference to conference. We have players jumping around from school to school. Is any of this stuff actually good for kids, or is this just all about money?
It's all about money. It's a complete money grab. That's the reason behind all the moves and all the realignments. It's all about the cash.
Absolutely. And, you know, we called this a long time ago, but it's heading toward that semi-pro ball. It's heading toward that, you know, this is a minor league farm system. They don't want to call it that. They still want to pretend that they're in the business of education, but we all know what's going on, and it's not education.
It is. It's all about the money. And like I said, it's something interesting to think about. Just, you know, we're probably still a couple of years down the road. But with all these TV subscriptions and, you know, you have to subscribe to this and this, at what point can they keep that up? You know, something to think about when, you know, when you mash all these conferences together, are people still going to fork out that money where normally I'd watch the game because it's on TV, but am I actually going to subscribe to watch that game? And the network money is what's behind all the moves. So, could be interesting, you know, another 5-10 years down the road.
Very interesting. And that's a good point, because I was speaking to someone recently and he was saying that as much as we say, like, you know, the NFL's on Amazon, he goes, and they say, hey, we got good numbers. He goes, no, they have good numbers for them. They don't have good numbers in the great scheme of things. So it's going to be interesting to see, are people going to follow this? Or are they eventually just going to say, you know, I'm going to follow my team and I'm not going to follow anything else because it's just too difficult to do that. Rob, we also called this a long time ago, but the Pac-12 is officially dead. Every single team is leaving except for the big nerds, but this doesn't feel like it's done. Do you have any thoughts on, like, who's going to move next? Who's going to jump next? Does the ACC end up falling into, I don't know, the SEC and the Big Ten? Does Notre Dame end up having to join a conference at some point? Does the Pac-12 get absorbed by like the Mountain West or something? Do you have any kind of prediction for what might happen next in conference play?
Oh, man. Well, sad to say, RIP to the Pac-12. Yeah, I think they're done. I think ACC grabs them. I mean, they're probably, if we're going at a power four now, they're probably number four of four. And so probably their best move just for their survival, go ahead and, you know, grab them up. And like I said, so they're the last of the super conferences there.
You know what's going to be interesting to watch? And there's a lot of talk about, you know, all these people jumping and Notre Dame's going to do their own thing. One thing I want to know, because you saw the SEC and they're kind of changing their schedule a little bit and they're like, hey, we're going to play this many conference games. At what point does Notre Dame run out of people to play with? Because everyone's in one of those conferences. And I think at that point, they're going to have to join. Yeah, like you said, I think the those other schools that were left over the Pac-12, one, none of them are athletic powerhouses, so maybe it doesn't matter. But two, you know, the one thing I'm always wondering, and going back to, is this the best thing for kids? When you look at football, you say, okay, if Washington is going to go play West Virginia in a conference game, I guess it's one game a week. But when you get into basketball, you get into softball, you get into swimming, you get into these other sports, there's no way that's viable, is it? They can't keep this up, can they?
No way. Like you said, going that far. And even, like I said, it's hard enough just because for football, even though it is once a week, I mean, that's still a lot of travel time going back and forth. Like you said, I mean, almost it's probably too late now, but if it is just going to be four, I mean, you'd almost want to just realign everything to keep it kind of close. If it's going to end up as four, might as well realign it, like you said, so it isn't so much travel on the kids and you kind of get to keep those, you know, cross town, cross state rivalries.
For sure. And, you know, we talked about that a little bit. We didn't even mention, you know, Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA joining the Big Ten. I mean, that's all great until you're playing like Maryland or something like that. That's a, you know, that's a bunch of travel. I don't know how sustainable that is. Not only are we going to get a number of teams, you know, switching around next season because a lot of these do kick in next year, but this is also the final year of a four-team college football playoff. Next year, the college football playoff will change to a 12-team playoff, which is going to be a massive change. You and I have been rooting for it. I know money is driving all this. I get it. But it's going to be really fun too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. Yeah. Like I said, we've been wanting the 12 a long time. And then with the conference realignment too, you know, I think that is going to be a good thing. It'll be interesting to see how they do it. Like I said, since the conference changes, is it still a conference champion or I guess the top four conference champions and then the next eight at large. So that part would be interesting. But yeah, I'm all for the playoffs.
I am too. And you know what's going to be really fun to watch, in my opinion, is when we get to the point that the whatever governing body, I guess it's the NCAA, has to like backtrack and be like, oh, you know, I know we said we were going to give those, but actually what we're going to do, then they're going to try to get the most money out of it because that's all this is about. And I think that's going to be the most fun to watch them just trying to stumble over themselves as they try to change the rules just to make them the most money. Of course, another story to keep an eye on is down in the SEC where the Georgia Bulldogs have been on quite a run. They have now won two titles in a row. While we're going to talk a little bit later about the SEC, about Georgia, it's going to be tough. Georgia's going to have to, you know, kind of rally to do this again. It's not easy. It's not a coincidence that no one's won three in a row in quite some time. Is Georgia going to be the team to be able to do this?
We'll see. Like you said, I know we'll get into it later, but like I said, it's just hard to do just in any sport, man. You know, three in a row. Three in a row is hard. And like I said, the talent's there, but I mean, it's still turnover. It's still young kids. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really fun. Rob, last year, USC quarterback Caleb Williams won the Heisman. And it sure seems like he is going to make a run at being just the second two-time winner that we've had in like 40, 50 years. We're going to do more Heisman talk a little bit later in the show. But it kind of feels like Caleb might actually do this.
He's close. Yeah, this is the first time going into it, you know, where it's like, you know, the repeat doesn't happen often. But, you know, if it happened this year, I wouldn't be surprised. I put it that way.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because a lot of pressure. And that league, I know that, you know, it's always fun to make fun of the Pac-12, but that league is going to be pretty tough this year in its last year. So that might be interesting, too. You know, we also have seen this at least recently. We didn't see it for a while, even though it seems like every year that we've had the 14 playoff, somebody kind of crashes the party we didn't expect. Maybe it's not a small-time school, it's usually a blue-blood program. Maybe it's an Ohio State. Maybe it's a Notre Dame. We didn't expect them. But last year, we got TCU. The year before, we got Cincinnati. And I know that everyone kind of complains about, well, college football is too predictable. We know it's going to be someone from the SEC, maybe two, Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State, Michigan. It's been kind of fun to see some new blood getting into that playoff, even though it's still just a four-team playoff. I think it's just going to get better when we expand to 12. We're going to get more of those kind of stories, but I'm kind of hoping we see some more new blood in there. I like it.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, that's the biggest thing for the playoff as well. Like I said, that other team, or even with the playoff, you get like Alabama last year, two losses, both by 4 points in the playoffs. They get in. They're still a good team. So you get to widen it a little bit. And then, like you said, you get a TCU. Tennessee is another one. Had a good season, kind of lost it down the edge. But, you know, that's a team. Yeah, I'd like to see them in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's a great thing.
Well, and how many times, you know, are we in the NFL and you're looking at the one seeds and the one seeds are gone? And we're looking at the two or the three or the four, and you're going, hey, this might open up that kind of a situation, which I am all for. Rob, we did get a few new rules this season that are going to be trying to speed up the game a little bit. I think they're going to be good for the game without being all that noticeable. First, they are outlawing consecutive timeouts. So you take one timeout, team comes out, they don't like the setup, they take another one. No, you can't do that. I think that's just common sense. A lot of times it's the ice kickers. Great, but you can't ice them 2-3 times in a row. Two, they're not going to extend a quarter. So the rule says that if it's the end of the first or third quarter going into the second or fourth, if there is a defensive penalty, you won't get that untimed play. It'll just roll to the next quarter. You'll start. Not a big deal. I don't know how much that really affects. But the last one might be the biggest one. The clock will continue to run after the offense gains a first down, except 2 minutes left in either half. Under the old rule, the game clock stopped when a team gained a first down every single time. It was making for nearly four-hour games. I think these are good rule changes in terms of college football, aren't they?
I think so. The last one is the only one I'm kind of questioning. Yeah. Like I said, it never felt like baseball to me, where just, the game is dragging on, the game is dragging on. Quick stop, move the chains. So I guess, I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, again, it wasn't, you know, a baseball situation where the game felt like it was just dragging. So maybe this, you know, speeds it up a little bit. So we'll see. We'll see.
Well, and I'm hoping that unlike baseball, which desperately needed that change, I don't know, like you said, if this really needs it, but maybe we won't notice it as much in this because it's not like baseball that was dragging. Maybe you'll just kind of go, oh, yeah, it's a little bit quicker, but, you know, shaved it down 20 minutes. But not like baseball has shaved it down like a month every night. So I think that's a good thing. Rob, we have a couple of notable coaching changes that are going to be worth watching. And I want to talk about them now before we get into conference previews, because I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I'm talking about any of these schools other than that. Of course, we are in Colorado. And one of the biggest stories this offseason is that Deion Sanders was somehow convinced to come to Boulder. He is taking over the University of Colorado football program. And while Buffalo fans are out of their minds with excitement right now, this is going to be a difficult process. Rob, a little transparency. You made some money off the Buffs last year. Are you going to put any more on them this year?
I did. Shout out to Young Jimmy. Nothing personal. But yes, I was on the under three last year. This year.
And you made money.
It. I did. This year it's 3.5. And I think I'm going to take that again. I'm going to go under 3.5. Again,
this is a massive rebuild job. This is such a big job. I don't know if Deion's up to it.
It's just too much. I mean, I think it's a great hire from the school.
Oh,
they paid him a lot of money. They probably made half of that back already, and they haven't even played a game. Yeah, so great hire that wise, but the schedule's tough, and just building the whole team out the transfer portal, it's just too much, too fast. The conference is decent, probably better than it's been in the last couple of years, to be honest. I think it's just too new. Like I said, it might work out in the long term, might not. Great hire. Again, no disrespect to Deion or Young Jimmy, but I'm under 3.5 this year.
I'm going to disrespect both of them. here's my biggest concern, and I say this in all honesty. When he was at Jackson State, there were a number of games that he won because he basically had D1A talent playing against D1AA talent. You're not going to have that anymore. Right. Those days are over. Not only are you not going to have more talent, most nights you're probably going to have less because USC didn't have to go rebuild. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, the Arizona and Arizona States, They didn't have to rebuild. Oregon State has had those kind of players. You're trying to fill them. I like some of the skill positions they brought in. I'm not impressed with offensive and defensive line, and we know that's where you win games. I think he's got an uphill battle, and the toughest part is he can't even walk up that hill with both feet. You know, it wasn't just Colorado. The Nebraska Cornhuskers pulled the plug on the Scott Frost disaster, and they brought in former Temple and Baylor head coach Matt Rhule. Now, the Huskers have now gone 7 seasons without making a bowl game. Is Matt Rhule going to get this thing turned around?
It'll be better than it was.
That has to be, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. We'll see. I mean, you know, real good in college, went up to the NFL, not great, and so no. He's back. So maybe it's, you know, he's one of those guys where college is the niche, you know, that's where he needs to be. But yeah, I think probably a good coach overall, couple years. Like I said, it'll definitely be better than it was for sure.
Yeah, I don't think he can go backwards because I don't think you can go any further down. My concern for Nebraska is, again, in the trenches. And they have homegrown talent, but they want to play spread football. Those aren't the kids you have. You have sledgehammers. You have bulldozers. I would be a lot more comfortable if Nebraska would go out and adopt kind of that, hey, we're going to go back triple option. You're going to have to defend us every week because we're going to be a pain. They want to play spread. Well, then you're going to have to go get those, you know, those linemen from Texas and California and Florida, because I don't know that you're going to find those in Nebraska with those big corn-fed boys, but I guess we're going to find out. You know, Luke Fickell did a phenomenal job of building Cincinnati into a contender, and he has now taken that Wisconsin job, which they always kind of seem like they're on the verge of doing something big, and then they, you know, don't. But could Fickell be the guy that gets the Badgers over the hump?
I think so. This is one we kind of talked about where Wisconsin, that's the identity. You know, it's a run-first team. And there's talk when, you know, he's going to do a little bit more air raid there. And I think that's the right idea as long as you don't go all the way. Again, if you just have the threat of that, or if you just give a little bit of that passing option, you know, you can still kind of strengthen your run game. And like I said, a good coach, and I really like that hire. I think this one could turn around quick. I don't know if this year, but maybe so. But I think we're definitely going to see some improvement right away.
I would agree with you. I like the Fickell hire, and I think he's going to be good. I'm right there with you, though. If you go out and you try to change who you are completely, you can tweak it. But if you're going to sit there and say, hey, we're no longer Wisconsin, we're going to be spread and five wide, and we know what the weather does up there. You're not going to be able to do that come November. It's going to be really tough. Snow blowing all over and cheese rolling out on the field. It's not going to be easy. Lastly, Hugh Freeze could be a huge success. He might be an absolute disaster. He takes over at Auburn. Now, remember, Hugh Freeze was winning games at Ole Miss, but he was also calling hookers from his coaching office. And hey, Rob, Auburn's not an easy place to win. Can Hugh get some wins out on the plains?
I think so. Like I said, Auburn, just a weird school as far as the job. As far as the job, it's a weird kind of, not Alabama, but, you know, had that one good year with Cam. But yeah, I think he's just one of those kind of like a Rick Pitino, just like a good coach. Got caught up in some questionable stuff, but knows his football. So, I think, again, I don't see that program turning all the way around, but I think we get them competitive again.
Yeah, I like that comparison, too, because Pitino's just a guy that can go anywhere, and he can win. He's just one of those guys. Is he a deplorable human? He might be, yes. Am I going to order the pasta after he leaves the restaurant? No, I'm not. But dude wins games, and I think Hugh Freeze might be in a similar vein to that. Rob, it doesn't seem like we have quite as many big names on the coaching hot seat, at least to start the season. I will throw out a couple of names, but I just, it feels like this year there's a lot of people that are pretty set. And don't get me wrong, they're going to come because they always do. But there just aren't as many big names this year. I'll throw out the big one, though. Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. I think if the Aggies struggle this year, I think he might be in some trouble. They should be good. We'll talk about them more, but I don't know that there's a whole lot of big-name coaches that were going into the season going, hey, this guy's got a win to save his job.
Yeah, that's the biggest one, Jimbo Fisher by far. And I got another one for you.
Is it going to be Neil Brown at West Virginia?
It is.
Is it really?
It is.
Awesome. I kind of suspected that might be the case.
Yeah. My Mountaineers, three out of four losing seasons, probably would have been gone already. Athletic director tried to hold on to him. Ended up losing his job, so that was probably a bad call. And that schedule looks brutal. So
it's tough.
He might be the first to go.
Maybe they can hire Huggins just to switch over and bring his act over to the football side. West Virginia is going through it right now. You guys got to get that thing going. Yeah, West Virginia is always quietly pretty good. And now they're like loudly being not very as good, bad. But goodness, what are they going to do with Huggy Bear, by the way? Is he?
I don't know. It was bad. Last thing I heard is he said he did not resign. I don't know.
That's what I heard. Yes.
How that was confusing. I don't know.
Yeah, came out in a presser and said, I mean, still had the beer dripping off of his chin and was talking about,
I don't know if he just didn't remember or what. But
yeah, see, that's my thing. It's very, very possible. And dude's a good coach.
He is. Yeah.
He wins every year.
Yep. Players seem to like him too. Players
they love like him. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Hopefully West Virginia gets that figured out. Okay, Rob, let's jump into some conference previews. And we are going to begin, of course, with that Atlantic Coast Conference, which was kind of quietly won last year by Clemson, blowing out North Carolina in the championship game. The ACC to me right now, very unstable. I think Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina State, I think they'd like to go join a bigger conference, but they can't because they're wrapped up with their conference. They've got a contract. Having said that, this conference has some decent teams in it. I think we even have a team or two that could play their way into the college football playoff. Rob, how many contenders do you have in the ACC before we get to your champion?
I've got three contenders.
I have got three contenders as well. Let's have your first contender.
First one is going to be Miami.
Yeah.
Second season under Cristobal. I think the key this year is Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback. If he can stay healthy, they've got a chance. Again, it's Florida. There's talent there. So we'll see him staying healthy. And then the biggest thing and the easiest thing is to bring back the turnover chain.
You got to bring back the turnover chain. I mean, we have turnover chain saws. For goodness sake, you can bring you're the you.
That's what they need. On. That's all it they is. Need. Just bring back the turnover chain.
I really felt like last year Miami was the victim of their own expectations because they're like, hey, we got Mario. He's a Miami guy. He's going to come in here. He's going to change things. And then he kind of has to step on everybody's toes and say, hey, you guys aren't where you think you are. And they go 5-7. They lose to Middle Tennessee. They don't even get a bowl game. I think he just has to get more talent and he has to get guys to figure out how to play the right way. And eventually they'll be good. I have Miami as a contender as well. I think they're going to be tough. Could they win it? Maybe not. He's got to have a really good year and he's got to get some more talent. But like you said, he is in a hotbed of talent. My contender, I'm going to throw out there, and maybe it's the same one you have. I'm going to go with the North Carolina Tar Heels just because I think that offense is going to be so explosive. Last year, Mac Brown's squad went 9-5. They lost a heartbreaker in the Holiday Bowl, but Drake May is back and he's a big time quarterback. My concern is that defense is going to be terrible. They're going to have to score like 35 or 40 every game, and I don't think he can do that over the length of a season. But North Carolina is going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, yep, that's a good one. I didn't have them on my list, but yeah, that is another good one. Like you said, Drake May's the real deal. A little concerned about the receivers there.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know if they have a star, but again, he can sling it. So yeah, I think they'll be fine.
I do too. Who's your next contender?
Next one, I'm going to go Louisville. Yeah, Jeff Brohm's coming back. And this is basically a schedule play. Decent last year. He said you got Jeff Brohm there now coaching, and they avoid Clemson, FSU, and UNC. So
good point.
Schedule alone, I think they're probably in the title game. Like I said, just based on that schedule and you know, a decent team coming back and a good coach.
Sure. No, and you're right. They have one of the softest schedules in the country coming out, at least of the Power Five teams. And, you know, Jeff Brohm is going back home. Last year, going into the season, we were kind of talking about Brohm and saying, hey, at Purdue, he's probably going to get fired this year. He had a really good season, finished really strong, and went and jumped to the job that we know wanted to begin with. That's where he's from. That's what he wanted to do. So I think that's a good pick. I think Louisville can be there. And like you said, that schedule is going to be a big-time game changer for them because they just don't play anybody. They're going to have a really soft schedule. They should be able to skate. I'm going to name one more contender, and it's probably going to be the same one that you have. It's interesting, though, because last season kind of felt like a disaster for Clemson. Mm-hmm. They went 11-3. They were pretty good, though. It's just that they struggled so much offensively, And that could change this year. They've got sophomore quarterback Cade Klubnik, who is capable of making those big plays. He'll go down the field. And I really like running back Will Shipley. I think Clemson is good enough to win this league. I actually think they could go to the college football playoff if things break right. You know Dabo Swinney wants to get this team back on top. And he might have a team that's capable of doing that. I am going to go with Clemson as my final contender in the ACC. Who do you have as your final contender?
Clemson was my winner, so okay. I probably have yours. FSU. Yep.
Yeah, yep. That's it.
Yeah, FSU, Jordan Travis, quarterback. Like I said, good talent there. Last season wasn't great, but you know it felt like they were close.
Yeah.
And like I said, they got LSU early. They go to Clemson. So those were the ones that kind of – that's why I gave Clemson the nod because, like I said, the LSU, and then they have to go to Clemson. Good team last year. I think they did a lot of good work in the portal, addressed their needs. So, yeah, I got them in Clemson, you know, right there.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at too. I have Florida State winning the ACC championship, but I was kind of right there where I was like either one could do it. Florida State, like you said, they've got to come out of the gate hot. I think you might be able to overcome – an LSU loss if it's a close loss, because they do start the season with that tough game. And we know last year that was a battle. I expect it to be even tougher this year. I don't think they could overcome losing then to Clemson too, though. So yeah, it's going to be between these two schools. I think, like you mentioned, Mike Norvell returns 16 starters, Jordan Travis, and basically his entire offensive line is back. They've got some talented wide receivers. We've got to see if they can come out and beat LSU. Because if not, things are going to get a little bit shaky. So then that means you've got Clemson as your champ.
Yep. Clemson, like you said, all the same points you think that you made. The defense is still good. They get Florida State and Notre Dame both at home. So I think that helps. And then kind of like you said, Cade Klubnik, that's the key. If he can just be decent. You know, DJ wasn't great. Heard good things about him. Like I said, I don't think it's a Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, but again, he doesn't have to be that level. If they can just get some kind of offensive production, because I think that defense is going to be really, really good this year.
Well, and you know, he is a kid that is not afraid to throw the ball down the field. He'll definitely attack people. And that's where DJ just struggled so much. He was safe. He was, you know, keep it short, take the easy route. And they were like, come on, can we get a big play? And they struggled to get big plays. And so maybe that's the guy that could bring those to them. You're going to go Clemson. I'm going to go Florida State. But we come up very, very close on the ACC. We move next to the Big 12, which is going to be looking different even this year, because the Big 12 adds Central Florida, BYU, Houston, and Cincinnati to the mix. But remember, we have just one more year, and then Oklahoma and Texas are going to jump to the SEC, and the conference will add Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State. So this is going to be the last season for the Big 12 as we sort of know it. Now, last year, TCU surprised everyone, but we kind of forget this. Kansas State won the Big 12 championship last year, edging them out, but TCU still got the bid into the playoff. Big 12 this year is going to be very, very interesting again. Rob, who is your first contender in the Big 12?
I'll start with who you just mentioned, Kansas State. QB Will Howard's back, and that O-line is intact. Won it last year. I don't think they got worse. Experience now, confidence in the conference. I don't think they take it all, but I mean, I think they're going to be right there in the mix again.
I do too. And I have them as a contender as well. And, you know, Chris Klieman, he's just one of those coaches. He just builds tough teams. They play defense. They'll hit you in the mouth. They're going to be physical. Will Howard gets back his whole offensive line. They're going to probably grind out some wins that you're going to go, they beat who? Again? Really? But that's just who they are. They're going to be good. I just don't think they have as much top-end talent to win it all. But yeah, you're right. They're going to be right there. I like the Kansas State pick. Rob, I'm going to throw out a contender. I don't know if I should do this or not, but I'm going to. I'm going to throw out those TCU Horned Frogs as a contender because they had that great run last year. And I think Sonny Dykes, I know he hit the portal well. I know he's recruiting well. He's probably lost way too much to make any kind of the same run. They only return 11 total starters, and most of those are on defense, which we know wasn't really their strength. Having said that, Dykes is recruiting the heck out of Texas. The Horned Frogs are still going to be a pain. If that offense gets any better, maybe they could be dangerous in the second half of the season. You just have to upgrade, you know, what you had so good last year. That's going to be tough to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Next one I'll give. I got two more, and I'll give you Texas Tech. Yep, 18 like starters Texas back. Coaching staff is intact. If that defense can get a little bit better, I think that's a team that's right there in the mix. Again, pretty good last year. And like I said, 18 starters returning, whereas we see so much turnover, you know, with those top teams. To have that many starters back, you know, has to be a good thing. So I've got them in the mix this season.
Well, and Texas Tech had a few games last year that you were like, hey, this team's not bad. And now they bring back everybody. I like the Texas Tech pick. I had them down and I kind of bumped them back a little bit, but I like that pick a lot. I was considering them as well. I have one more contender and I'm kind of struggling with this contender, but I'm going to do it. Goes against every fiber of my being, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to put the Oklahoma Sooners as a contender here because I believe in quarterback Dillon Gabriel. When he played last year, Oklahoma could hang with anyone. However, I have no faith in this defense, as I never do. And I know Brett Venables is going to get the defense to come around at least a little bit. But in their 7 losses last year, they allowed 42 points a game. That's going to get better, but I don't know that you can just fix that in 1 year. They had a rough first season in his first year. They got pummeled by Texas. Now, we talked about coaches on the hot seat. Venables isn't on the hot seat. Oh, lose to Texas like that again, and he will be, though.
Yeah, he was actually honorable mention on my hot seat.
Yes.
Just because he is so new. But last year was their worst, Oklahoma's worst record since 98. And Oklahoma, I mean, that's a football school. So
yes, it is.
Again, it's his first year. You get a pass. But like I said, another year like that. And especially on the defensive side, because he's supposed to be a defensive guy. So, like I said, honorable mention, I will say warm. The seat is warm there, even yes. though it's going into his second year. But, yeah, I've got them as a contender, too. And also an easy schedule, too.
If you look at their
schedule, very easy. So they should be right there just based on the schedule alone.
It's a manageable schedule. They should be able to handle most of that. And I think that makes them a contender. I just don't know if I like them enough. Rob, do you have any more contenders? Or is you got your champ now?
Just my champ.
All right. Let's hear it.
Texas.
Yeah, sadly. Mine too. I'm struggling with it. I know, but like we're so used to them just crashing and burning. I don't know. They might be pretty good.
I think so. Like I said, and, you know, Texas is back. We hear that every year. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I haven't heard it as loud this year.
You're right.
Which I think is a good sign. Quinn Ewers showed some flashes there. They got their entire O-line back, and then just position by position, I mean, you look at all their groups, running back, wide receivers, and it's all pretty solid. I mean, it really is. So just from a talent standpoint, I think this is by far the most talented team in the Big 12. But again, it is Texas, and we've seen it fall apart so many times.
Yeah, and if it does, will Sarkisian go on a bender? That has yet to be seen. You know, they did lose running back Bijan Robinson. Maybe that takes them a little time to just sort out who it's going to be. But they're talented. They've got a ton. You know, one thing I do want to see, and you mentioned Quinn Ewers, and it sounds like he's playing pretty well in practices and stuff. But you know, the fans are going to want to see Arch Manning.
Oh yeah.
And if Quinn struggles at all, they're going to be screaming for him. Even though it sounds like the Manning family wants Arch to redshirt this year, they don't even want him on the field. Mm-hmm. If Quinn doesn't go grab that bull by the horns, it might get a little bit ugly down there. But we are both taking Texas. Kind of makes me a little bit queasy. I'm going to be honest with you. All right, let's move next to the Big Ten, where the Michigan Wolverines have now beaten Ohio State not once, but twice, and they've gone to back-to-back college football playoffs. You know, just a few years ago, we were talking about how Michigan couldn't win the big one and Jim Harbaugh couldn't beat Ohio State. He's kind of flipped everything, but can they do it again? I think the Big Ten has some really good teams in it this year. I think this is going to be pretty tight. How many contenders do you have in your Big Ten?
I've got 4.
Okay, I've got 5. I'm going to take the first one, and I shouldn't even name this one. I'm going to start with a team I have no faith in. But Iowa was so close to being like a 10 or an 11 win team last year. They just couldn't score. But what if they were like just a tiny bit better offensively? Mm-hmm. The Hawkeyes now have quarterback Cade McNamara, who played for Michigan a few years ago. The defense should still be really good. Head coach Kirk Ferentz, he's always a threat to kind of put together that scrappy team. I don't know. This might be the team. And the schedule is pretty manageable. They go to Wisconsin. They go to Penn State. But they don't play either Michigan or Ohio State. That is favorable to Iowa. I'm going to name Iowa as a contender.
Yeah, I had them as well. Same thing you said. I think that defense is going to be great again. Yeah. And like you said, if you can get any kind of offense, just a little something. Yeah, I think they're a contender as well. I had them down.
Okay, who's your next contender?
Next one, the team we mentioned, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Like I said, all the points. I like the Lou Fickell hire. And again, it's a run team, run first program. And he's coming in, said he wants to do a little bit more air raid, a little bit more throwing. And as long as they don't go overboard with it, I think that opens up your run game. You know, Braylon Allen's still there. Like I said, with the threat of the quarterback, the pass a little bit opens it up. You know, your run game is better. Still a tough team. Fickell's a good coach. So, yeah, that's a team I have in the mix for the Big Ten.
Yeah. And, you know, when that place is rocking, Madison can be a problem to go into. You're going to have bad weather. You're going to have some crazy fans. Yeah, Wisconsin could be a load. Rob, I'm going to throw out Michigan State because head coach Mel Tucker, he's had problems with consistency. I mean, he went 2-5 in his first year, COVID year, but then he went back and had an 11-2 record in 2021. But then last year, he disappoints everyone. They go 5-7. I don't think he's on the hot seat, but the seat's getting warm if he doesn't do something this year. Mel Tucker and Michigan State, they return 13 starters. They better find a way to get some wins or he's going to be wishing he had stayed in Colorado. And Sparty's schedule, it's not great, but it's manageable. They have Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, but only Ohio State on the road. Quarterback Peyton Thorne. Michigan State should be solid. I don't know that they could win it, but they'll at least be a pain.
I agree. Yeah, one or the other. Like you said, they're so up and down, so they'll either be in the mix or it's just one of those, you know, four-win seasons where they just look awful.
And then Tucker's seat starts getting real, real hot. Who's your next contender?
Next one I have is Penn State.
Yep.
The O-line, solid. Defense, really good. I think it's really going to be a good defense. They should get better quarterback play this year. It's like Drew Aller's going to be the guy. A little worried about their wide receiver position, maybe a little inexperienced, but I like them a lot. You know, I think I've got them maybe pulling off a upset. They got to play a upset, both the big boys, Ohio State or Michigan, and I think they might get one of them, if not, you know, push them to the brink.
Yeah, and I could see that too. He's got a ton of talent, and you know, it's kind of funny because last year there was kind of some grumbling. Is James Franklin really the guy? James Franklin is pretty good. He just needs some players, and he needs some guys to step up in key games because how many games over the last few years have we seen Penn State lose right at the very end when a player would just, you know, kind of screw up? I just feel like that schedule is going to be tough. But, I mean, I could see Penn State slipping through and winning the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But things would really have to break well for them. I have Penn State down as a contender, too. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty here, Rob. I've got one more contender, and then I've got my champion. Do you have one or two left?
Same. I got one contender and then the champion.
All right. I guarantee it's going to be the same two teams. But in what order do we have them? Who is your contender?
Last contender is Ohio State.
We agree as usual. I kept going back and forth.
Same way. Ohio State, the reason I have them in the contender spot, too many questions at quarterback.
Yeah.
They haven't quite figured it out. The defense has been questionable for years. Should probably be better. But then the flip side, the receiver's outstanding, probably as a core.
Yeah.
Probably tops in the nation. But again, who's throwing it to them? And then the final tiebreaker, they go to Michigan this year. So that's kind of why I slid.
I did the same thing. I kept going through it and I kept saying, hey, I can see comparable if they can find their quarterback. And when they're still trying to do that, but they have such a good receiving crew. They have a pretty good offensive line. Defense should be okay. But you go to Michigan, you go to Notre Dame, you have Wisconsin. That's going to be really, really tough. And I think it might just be too much for a team that doesn't have the experience at the key spot. So it sounds like we are both picking the Michigan Wolverines to win the Big Ten again.
Yeah, Michigan again, like you mentioned before, Harbaugh on a roll, maybe because he was cheating.
Maybe. But again. Possibly. Well, that has yet to be determined. They're still talking about that.
But, O-line should be good. Again, running back position, good. Same coaching staff in place. And like I said, they get, you know, their big games at home. So I think it's them again.
I do too. And, you know, Harbaugh's done such a good job of getting tough up front. As much as, you know, you have J.J. McCarthy, you have Blake Corum, their trenches are really good on both sides of the ball. We saw Aiden Hutchinson a few years ago. They did something I never thought we'd see. They pushed Ohio State around up front. I never thought we'd see that, but they've done it, and they've done it 2 years in a row. It's in Ann Arbor this year. That makes me think Michigan. So I think we agree there. The schedule really lines up nice for them. Going to be very interesting, though, because that is a tough schedule. Either way, that Big Ten is tough. Rob, the Pac-12 we talked about, it's dying. But this will be the last year before they are actually dead. And this league has some significant talent. We have some really good quarterbacks. And this is going to be entertaining to see how they shape up. Can the Pac-12 finally get back to the college football playoff in its final real year? Last year, the Utah Utes upset USC in the Pac-12 title game. These two teams are going to be in contention again for the title. But Rob, who do you have as a contender in your Pac-12 preview?
Yeah, I've got four contenders for you. And I'm going to start with Oregon State.
Yep, I've got Oregon State as well.
Okay, yeah, Clemson transferred DJ's over there now, which we mentioned. Again, kind of like you said, safer thrower. Which is fine. I think, you know, a good offensive line. They can run the ball. They lost a little bit on defense, which kind of concerns me. But I think better, consistent quarterback play, if not great. And I think they'll be in the mix. It's a tough team. I like them.
Well, and you bring up some good points there. With DJ Uiagalelei, here's a guy that isn't a guy that's going to throw it down the field. He's going to be a little more safe. But that kind of works here. Mm-hmm. They're going to run the ball. They're going to grind you down. And maybe you don't want him doing that. So that might be a really good fit in Beaverton. Plus, we've talked about this throughout the day. The schedule is really, really nice. No USC. They get Utah at home. And their non-conference is San Jose State, UC Davis, San Diego State. Oregon State could win this conference.
Yeah,
it sounds crazy to think about, but the Beavers could actually win the Pac-12 in its final true year, which would be hilarious to me. I'm all for it. I've got Oregon State as well. I'm going to throw out another contender, and I'm going to put Oregon as a contender.
Yep.
Although I could see them winning some big games, but when you have Bo Nix at quarterback, you might win, you might lose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last year, they win some big games, but they lose to Washington, they lose to Oregon State because Bo Nix was a kind of a weirdo. They did go 10-3. They have some talent returning, but they lost a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the problem that I have is that defense. So you're going to ask Bo Nix to take on a little bit more, and that concerns me. I like Oregon, but I don't love them.
Yeah, same. I had them on my list as well. And like you said, Bo Nix, that's probably will keep them from winning it all, but we'll also have them in the mix. Because like you said, he's sometimes, you know, terrible and some, you know, he can win it at the end. He can lose it at the end. You never know. So, yep, I've got them as a contender as well.
And that schedule doesn't break great for them. They go to Utah. They go to Washington. They finish the season home against SC before the Pac-12 title game. That's a tough slate. So, yeah, I think it just might be a little too much for Oregon. I think they'll be in the hunt. I just don't think they are going to be a big dog. Who is your next contender?
Next one I'm going to give you is Utah. Good again last year. And this again, Cam Rising. Is he healthy? Coming off the ACL tear. Seems like he's not going to play right away. They might sit him a couple weeks, which is fine. As far as, you know, our conference pick goes, because, you know, that's probably more important.
Yes.
Winning the conference. But yeah, if he does play, you know, that's a good offense. But then the flip side, his health and also that schedule down the stretch is brutal. They're non-conference games, Florida. So again, with the shaky quarterback, you know, I don't know, but just I'm assuming he's healthy. Still, I think they're in contention, but at the end of the day, just that schedule, I think, might be too much.
Sure, and it very well could be. I'm going to throw out my final contender, and I'm going to throw those USC Trojans out as my contender. Despite the fact they are the heavy favorite, they returned 14 starters and some really, really good players. They went 11-3 last year. They have Heisman hopeful quarterback Caleb Williams and his top receivers. Here's my concern. I have a few concerns about USC. One, they were plus 22 in turnover margin. That does not always happen. Like, that's kind of the luck of the ball just kind of rolling your way. I can't imagine that happens again. That defensive line has to be rebuilt. The schedule starts slow, but it does ramp up. They go to Notre Dame. They go to Oregon. They'll have Utah and Washington at home. I just could see USC tripping up a few times like Lincoln Riley teams sometimes do. So I have a contender as USC. And I have my champion as the Utah Utes. Oh. So who do you have as your final? Do you have your final contender or do you just have your champ?
No, I have USC was my final contender.
Okay.
Same reasons you said. Also, Caleb Williams, his health. We saw him get banged up at the end of last year. I mean, if he's out, they're done for sure.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, they hit the portal hard for defense, but they kept Alex Grinch, the defensive coordinator, which I think is a mistake. Even if you bring in the good players, he's not the guy.
Right.
So that was my last contender, and my champion is actually Washington.
Okay. You're going to go Washington. Hey, Washington did some good things this offseason.
They did. Michael Penix Jr., too, quarterback. I think he's right up there with Caleb Williams. You know, this season coming up, like I said, I think that's going to be another quarterback that's just out there slinging it around. And just as a team, I think they're just a little bit more, I want to say, put together than USC. Like I said, USC has the talent there. But between those two defenses, both not great, but I would take Washington over them. And I think they're going to get that same type of Caleb Williams quarterback play from Michael Penix Jr. So I'm going to – that's my sleeper pick to win the Pac-12, Washington.
Rob's going to go Washington with the Pac-12. I'm actually going to go Utah again with the Pac-12. My concern, like Rob mentioned, is Cam Risen coming back and being healthy, because they start off, they've got Florida, they've got Baylor early on in the season. I know both of those programs aren't exactly where they want to be, but those are still really, really tough games. And then you get into the meat of that Pac-12 schedule. My problem with Utah is that they've started slow the past few years. We remember them going down to the swamp last year. They're a better team than Florida, and they just couldn't get it done. So that concerns me a great deal, but I'm going to go with Utah, and I'm purely going to go with them because they're tough. They're a tough team. He coaches up tough teams, and so I'm going to give them that. But I kind of like that Washington pick. They were a contender that I was going to put in there instead of Oregon. I held off on it, but I do like that Washington pick. Okay, so Rob has Washington taking the Pac-12. I've got Utah. Let's finish up with the big dog of college football, the always powerful Southeastern Conference, who will be adding Texas and Oklahoma next season. That's going to be wild. And while everyone hates the SEC, they're the big bully. Once again, they're going to be a big bully. Last year, the Georgia Bulldogs were the top seed in the Final Four playoffs. They went on to win it, and they're going to be loaded again this year. But it's not just Georgia. There are a number of teams in the SEC that could not only win the conference, could go on and win the whole thing. And remember, the SEC, since we changed to this four-team playoff, 10 years, the SEC has won 6 of them. They're bringing it every single year. It's going to be the same thing again this year. Rob, how many contenders do you have in the mighty SEC?
I've only got 3 for you.
Okay, I've got 4. I've got 4. I'm going to throw out my first one. I'm going to regret this one anyway, so I should just throw it out. But I'll put it out there. Because Texas A&M is going to have a ton of talent. Last year, they were such a disappointment. They lose to Appalachian State. At one point, they lost 6 games in a row. And I think the culture is such a mess. Here's the reason I want to watch Texas A&M this year. Bobby Petrino joins the staff as offensive coordinator. And we know he's bad at marriage. We know he's bad at riding motorcycles. But he's pretty good at offense. The A&M defense should be pretty good. If Petrino could bring that offense around, A&M might actually be a team to watch. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I've got them as a contender as well. Like you said, Bobby Petrino, good offensive coordinator. If Jimbo lets him call the plays, I've heard some questions that
I have too.
There might be some back and forth there. But yeah, if he gets to call the plays and that offense is better, again, I think the defense is going to be solid. Again, this is one of those teams. Can we get anything from the offensive side of the ball? And if so, they'll be in the mix.
Yeah, I would agree. A&M will be fun to watch at least, because if nothing else, they might be an absolute train crash, and that's going to be pretty fun to watch. I'm going to make the Tennessee Volunteers a contender. And, you know, we kind of forget, you know, Rob mentioned it earlier in the show, but the Volunteers were really close to going to the playoff last year. And then quarterback Hendon Hooker gets hurt, and that was kind of the end of it. Their chances kind of went. But they went 11-2. They won the Orange Bowl. They beat Clemson. They have quarterback Joe Milton, and I know he's been beaten out a couple times. He legit might have the biggest arm in the country. Joe Milton can flat out sling it. And fat Justin Timberlake head coach Josh Heupel, he does a really good job of recruiting. He's done a really good job in the portal. And you want to talk about a stadium that could be a problem to play in. Neyland Stadium can be a problem for opponents. I give Tennessee a chance to win the SEC. I give them a chance to win the playoff. I'm going to make them a contender, but I really like the Vols.
Yeah, I didn't have them on my list. But again, I agree with, you know, all the points you said. And again, I guess we're kind of going to find out, is this one of those programs that can just reload with talent. Have they reached it there, or is this one of those just one season outlier? Yeah. So, like I said, I'm not sure. I mean, good recruiting, good work in the portal, and this is kind of one of those seasons that'll determine, okay, we're actually a program now who can, you know, refill every year.
Yeah, and those are good points, because we haven't seen Tennessee sustain that since Fulmer. And I don't know if they're going to be that. They've got a ton of talent. We've got to see if Fat Timberlake can get that done. All right, Rob, who's your next contender?
LSU. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels back at QB, and most of that offense last year, Brian Kelly's first year, was pretty good, I think,
It was better than I expected.
Same here. So again, another year with him there. You're bringing that offense back. They were kind of right there in the mix last year. And yeah, I see no reason why they won't be challenging again.
Yeah, I like LSU. I like them a lot, actually. You know, we looked at them last year, and Brian Kelly comes in with a fake accent, and we're kind of laughing at him. And they lose to Florida State, and we're like, oh, you know, same old LSU. And then they go 10-4. They went to the SEC title game, which we kind of forget about. They were pretty good in his first year. And they don't face Alabama or Georgia unless it would be in the postseason after the regular season. That kind of helps, too. I'll give you a name if people don't know. Linebacker Harold Perkins, he might be the best defensive player in the country. He is all over the field. Look out for LSU. If they can get by Florida State in the opener, they are going to be a problem. I like them a lot. I'm going to throw out another contender. I don't know if I want to do this, but I'm going to do it. I know Alabama and the Crimson Tide, I know they're going to be good. I know Nick Saban is got to be irate that Georgia has kind of passed them right now. But I feel like they have to kind of overcome some obstacles. Bryce Young is gone. Will Anderson is gone. And those guys, they weren't just kind of good. They were special. And Alabama was really good last year. You mentioned it before. They lost two games by a total of 4 points. If we had any kind of expanded playoff, who's to say they wouldn't have won it? But now you've got to replace those guys. And that's going to be tough. I believe Alabama is capable of winning the SEC. I believe they could go win the playoff. But they're going to have to grow up really, really fast. And week two against Texas, that's going to be a tough test, because we kind of forget, too, they win that game last year. They got outplayed most of that day. They were outplayed most of the game. They had to come back at the very end. But Alabama's going to be tough. But I've got them as a contender.
I do, too. That was my last contender. Okay. All the points you mentioned, in addition to they've also got two new coordinators.
Yes.
So the players are going out. You got two new coordinators. There's questions around the QBs. And like you said, do they have any stars? Like the people they lost some legit stars. And obviously it's Alabama. The talent's great. They recruit well. But, you know, do we have any stars? And like you said, with those early tough games, do we have time to figure it out? So
right. Yeah, because they're going to get tested real quick. Mm-hmm. If you're not up to par, can you imagine if Texas beats Alabama? Can you imagine the sickening nonsense that we're going to hear from Texas? My goodness. So, Rob, I would imagine that we're going to agree again, and we are both going to have the Georgia Bulldogs being the SEC champion.
It is. Yep. I've got Georgia again. Again, lost a lot, but full reload. And again, this is one of those programs that done it, you know, a couple years. I mean, if you look to last year, mm-hmm. we said, you know, they've lost a lot and they won it all.
Like I said,
lost a lot again, but this is just one of those programs that I have the confidence that they'll, you know, refuel. And then unlike Alabama, they're on that hot trend too, just, you know, because they've been that top dog.
Sure.
The confidence is there. And the schedule, their schedule, if you look at it, is so soft.
So soft.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's UT Martin, Ball State, UAB, and Georgia Tech. And then the SEC East, you know, they play the West, but the West teams that they face are Auburn and Ole Miss. They're going to roll to the SEC game probably without even getting tested. That's going to be blowouts. Now, if they get to the SEC title game and they've rolled to that, you know, 12-0 record, or they could probably even lose a close game and still make the playoff, because we've seen that happen already. I think Georgia rolls easily. And again, because of that schedule, I think that really, really helps them. We both take Georgia to win the SEC. Rob, do you have any contenders from outside those Power Five conferences? I've got a few. I don't know that they're national contenders, but maybe someone that could get in.
The only one I have is Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Probably better quarterback play. And I'm hearing just like toughness around the team, everything of, you know, they're really going to grind it out, kind of more focused there. I mean, I like the coaching hire from last year too, as well. So again, it's Notre Dame. We'll see. I mean, they've got a couple spots on the schedule that if they win, you know, they'll be there. I don't know if they'll win them all, maybe split them, but yeah, if anybody from the outside, I think it's going to be Notre Dame this year.
Well, and he's done a really good job of making that team tougher. But the one thing that you kind of alluded to was the fact that Notre Dame's going to get votes, whether they deserve them or not. The only difference is this year, maybe they do deserve some of them. They get Wake Forest quarterback Sam Hartman to come in. They haven't had good quarterback play in so long. That might be the best quarterbacks come out of Notre Dame. They just haven't had anybody lately. The problem for Notre Dame, and if they do get there, they'll earn it. They have a weird schedule. They host Ohio State and USC. They go to Clemson. So they have three really tough games. But other than that, they kind of play like a middling ACC schedule. It's really soft, or it's pretty tough, but probably at home. They've got an outside shot at a playoff for that reason, because you're going to see them on TV and they're going to get votes. So, yeah, I'll mention Notre Dame. You know, a couple teams that aren't going to get any media come from that little conference. Tulane and Texas San Antonio, I don't think they're playoff contenders, but they're pretty darn good. They just won't play anyone all year. And I guess I would throw Boise State in there as maybe kind of a lurking team. They've got a better team than maybe people expect. Went 10-4 last year. Maybe they could get a couple votes. But the only way any of those schools gets in is if a lot of people stumble. And I just don't think there's enough room for that. Okay, Rob. We have USC quarterback Caleb Williams back this year. He's the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman Trophy for the second time. Hey, remember, it's only happened once. Ohio State running back Archie Griffin won the award back-to-back years, 74 and 75. I think he ran for like 600 yards or something. It was a different time, whatever. But who are your nominees for the Heisman Trophy this year?
I've got a couple, and if I can break them off, I got three non-quarterbacks, which is
wow,
not likely, but right. Honorable mentions, I guess you
okay.
could say.
Okay.
I'll give you Blake Corum, running back, Michigan.
Yep. Michigan, yeah.
Again, we talked about them. We think they're going to roll. It'll definitely be behind, you know, the running game there.
Sure.
Another running back, Braylon Allen, Wisconsin.
Yes, he could have a huge year.
Yep, especially with Fickell, you know, opening up the pass like we talked about. And my last one, Marvin Harrison Jr.,
yes.
Wide receiver, Ohio State. Again, we talked about the questions, who's going to throw him and get him the ball. But, I mean, that's a receiver right there. Like, that's a guy that can play. So
Harrison feels like maybe the biggest can't-miss wide receiver that we've seen in quite a while. As far as dude has everything, he had 14 touchdowns last year. He looks better this year. He is not going to go against anyone that he is not better than all year. He's going to dominate, but like you said, he's dependent on someone else to get him the ball. Okay, I've got Marvin Harrison in there as well, and now you've got your, I'm assuming you have your quarterbacks that you're contenders to?
Yep.
All right, let's have him.
One I mentioned before, Jaden Daniels, LSU.
Yeah.
I like them this year. And
I do too.
Like I said, I think that offense is coming back.
I'm going to give you a North Carolina quarterback, Drake May. You know, he threw for 4,300 yards last year. He had 38 touchdowns. The problem, like I mentioned before, their defense is going to be so horrible. He's going to put up huge numbers, but they're probably going to lose a lot of games along the way. And I think that will end up tripping him up. Who's your next contender?
Jordan Travis, FSU quarterback. Again, like we talked about before, if this team goes on a run, it's definitely going to be behind him. So some flashes last year. So I think that's a guy that's going to be in the mix again.
I do too. I'm going to go with a quarterback that I think is going to have a good year. And this isn't a kid that, honestly, he probably won't write well at the combine. He probably won't have the big ranking. But Oklahoma quarterback Dylan Gabriel, that dude just can play football. I don't care. Put him in a football uniform. He knows how to play football. He knows how to make plays. I don't know that he's a big-time quarterback prospect. I just know that kid knows how to win games. He knows how to make plays. And so I'll put him on that list. And if he can stay healthy, I would assume he'll put up some pretty big numbers out there. So I'll put him in there as well. Any more contenders?
Yep. Last contender for me, Cade Klubnick.
Yeah.
QB Clemson. Yeah.
Clemson.
Again, I think there's an outside chance that they run the table, go undefeated. And if so, you know, that's the quarterback of a undefeated team. So I got to throw him in there.
Well, and you know, Dabo wants to get back so bad. He's kind of had a couple off years for him, right. And he would love to get back to that point. This kid is a kid that likes to throw the ball down the field. He's going to attack people. Clemson is going to be really, really exciting to watch with him there. I could see him getting in there. Okay, we obviously also have Caleb Williams. Who is your pick for the Heisman winner? Who's getting their name called?
I mentioned it before. Michael Penix Jr., Washington.
Washington. All right. Yeah,
this is, I'm all in on them.
Okay. Okay. I like it.
But yeah, like I said, passing and also a mobile quarterback, quarterback as well. So I think you get some passing touchdowns. You get some running touchdowns. Head-to-head with Caleb Williams, plays better than him, outshines him in that conference, and just kind of has everyone now thinking he's better than Caleb, and he gets the nod over Caleb. Yep. So that's my pick.
Okay. And, you know, I had Caleb Williams as my pick. My problem is that it seems like they do drop a game or two every year. I do think he could run into health concerns. And I think he'll be held to a different standard because he's already won it. Right, wrong, or indifferent. It's kind of unfair. If he's the best player in the country, give it to him. But a lot of times, voters will look at it and they'll say, well, he didn't show us anything different than he did last year. No, he's really, really good. And for that reason, I'm going to go Jordan Travis from Florida State as my Heisman winner. But I think any of these guys on here could win it. And I don't know that we'd be surprised at all. Okay, Rob, we've gone through every conference. We've picked our contenders. We've picked our champions. We have looked at some storylines. We've picked Heisman winners. Now, I'll be very transparent with everyone out there listening. We do not get on and we do not talk and say, well, who'd you pick and who did I pick? And we've never done it. Rob, we were talking about this before we started recording. I think this is like your, what, seventh or eighth year coming on the podcast and doing this college football preview?
I think so. Seven or eight. As you know, we get it right every year.
Every year. We've never missed. We never do. And we won't this year either. But we don't compare notes. We don't compare what we pick. And yet every year we try to, and there are times I have put down my picks and then I've thought to myself, Rob's going to pick that. I change my pick and I change it to what you picked. I don't know how it happens, but it does. But we are going to go through right now. We are going to make our pick for our final four. Who's going to win the semifinals and who's going to win the title game? Then you don't even have to tune in. You can just sit back and watch Yellowstone or whatever and not even have to watch college football this year. Rob, who is your number one seed going into the college football playoff?
Number one, Georgia Bulldogs. Like we talked about, soft schedule.
Yep.
No trouble until maybe the SEC title game. But yeah, Georgia, number one.
I'm right there too. I have Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs at the number one seed. All right, Georgia, I'm going to just write this down real quick. We've got to record these things for posterity. Number two seed. Things are going to start getting interesting now.
Number two, Michigan, Harbaugh, cheating. I like it.
Yes,
they get Ohio State at home. Yeah, just solid returning team. Got them all back. Michigan, number two.
My number two pick, I've got the Michigan Wolverines. You mentioned it before. Blake Corum's going to be a load in the backfield. J.J. McCarthy is plenty capable of mixing things up. They look like they have it more than anyone else in the Big Ten. And that Big Ten is probably going to be the second toughest conference. So I think the Michigan Wolverines get in. Now things are going to get even more interesting. We up the stakes. Number three seed, who do you have?
Number three, SEC school. I went back and forth between Bama and LSU, and I ultimately settled on LSU.
LSU. Brian Kelly gets into the playoff in year number two. Yep. I can totally see that, though. Especially if they make it to the SEC title game and they just edge out Georgia, they're both getting in. Or even if they play them close, they're both getting in. So I could totally see that. Yeah, I kind of like that pick. Hey, Brian Kelly's down there with his family. I mean, that could totally happen. At the number three seed, I'm going to go with a team that could easily take an early loss. But I think they could rebound even if they do lose early. And I think the rest of their schedule will be more manageable. I am going to go with the Texas Longhorns at the number three seed. Texas, as Steve Sarkisian, get into the playoff. So we reach the final seed in the final year of this 14 playoff. Rob, who do you have at number four?
I've got Clemson.
Clemson,
your ACC
all right.
Champion. Yeah, runs the table. They get enough offense out of Klubnik. Yeah, basically run the table, beat Florida State. Yeah, they're in there as my number four.
See, Rob, we do this every year, and we get where, again, we're like, okay, this is going to be totally different. We don't agree. We have two of them that are different, but I did the same thing you did. I've got Florida State. I know the Pac-12 is out there. Mm-hmm. I could easily, like you said, see another SEC team getting in there, but I think the ACC is quietly just a kind of a two-team race, and I think whoever wins it should have a pretty easy road to get into the playoff, and so you take Clemson. I take Florida State. But, I mean, it's still kind of the same thing. I'm going to go with the Seminoles. Okay. Now, in my semifinal game, I have the Georgia Bulldogs facing Florida State in the Rose Bowl on January 1st. I think Florida State gives the Bulldogs a game. I think it's entertaining, but I think Georgia comes out on top. Georgia moves on. Rob, who do you have in your first semifinal?
I've got Georgia Clemson. Same thing. I think it's tight, but the Georgia defense is enough to get them over the hump. So I got okay. Georgia advancing.
Okay. We have Georgia. All right. In the second game, I believe it will be the Michigan Wolverines facing the Texas Longhorns in the Sugar Bowl. And I've got Texas pulling the upset, and we get the Longhorns beating their chests and talking about how they are back. Texas slips through to the championship game. Rob, what do you have?
I've got Michigan playing LSU. We know how Michigan does against the SEC. So give me LSU.
LSU is rolling on. Now things are getting tough. Things are getting real tough. All right, Rob. I have my championship game, Georgia versus Texas. We get the preseason number one facing the program that says they are back. I think Georgia knocks Quinn Ewers out of the game. Arch Manning enters the game, and Georgia blows them out like they did TCU last year. I'm going to say 45-3. Georgia rolls. They get their third in a row easily over Texas. Rob, how do you have your championship game going?
I've got it Georgia-LSU. Yes. Probably a rematch of the SEC final.
Very likely.
I think LSU gets them the first time, but Georgia comes back and gets them in the final. So I've got Georgia winning it all.
So at the end of the day, we still have the same. We still have the same ending, Rob. We've been doing this like 7-8 years, and it does it every single year. We're like, okay, I'm going to do this different. It's not going to be that different. Hey, sick minds think alike, as they say. It's not that college football isn't unpredictable. It totally is. But at the same time, there's a lot of games and there's a lot of teams. You're like, yeah, but they're just good. They're going to be probably a little bit better. We both end up with Georgia winning the national championship. But I mean, if you want to, feel free. You can go out and watch it for yourself and see how this goes. Rob, I've got to ask something of you, though, because, you know, we have Rob do these college football previews, but then we ask him to come back and do the NFL preview. And Rob, I might need you to come back a couple of weeks because we can't get the whole NFL in 1 week. It's just too much. It's too much to do. It'd be kooky for us to try to do that. Is there any way you're going to be able to join us for the next couple of weeks and put in some extra work here at the Dose?
Absolutely. It's football season. So this takes a priority.
Absolutely. I would agree with you 100%. And, I'm watching the NFL. I'm watching the preseason. I'm watching some of these teams and some of these games. And I'm like, it's wide open. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, we're going to sit there and we're going to look at the AFC and say, hey, the Chiefs. But there's a ton of talent. You've got the Bengals. You've got the Bills. You've got within their own division. You've got the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to be kind of a dark horse pick for a lot of people to pick this year. They're not going to be that dark of a horse because a lot of people are going to pick them. And then the NFC, you've got the Eagles trying to rebound. You've got some quality teams over there as well. The NFL every year is just so much fun. And you want to talk about unpredictable. There's always teams that rise that are better than we thought. There's teams that are worse than we thought. It's going to be another fun year in the NFL.
Absolutely. Like you said, just kind of looking at an overview of it, and I'm getting down 7-8 teams that, I mean, a realistic shot of winning the Super Bowl. So yes. It is definitely wide open. And again, I know we'll get into it, but just a couple of those conferences that you look at, and it's just like,
oh yeah,
wow. Like, I don't know how to pick a winner. And that's either because everyone's really good or this conference
everyone's
is really bad.
Not. You're exactly right. Because I was doing a little bit of that kind of preparing for that. And I was looking at some of the conferences going, hey, this one is stacked. You could literally have three of the four win it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's anybody that can win it here. They're all horrible. Probably talking about the same divisions here too. Rob, as usual, I have to thank you for coming and hanging out with us. You know, we bring you back every year because it's always a good time to talk college football. One of maybe the best time of year right now. We're just starting to get into football season, but we always appreciate your visits. We always appreciate your knowledge. And so many of the sneaky stories that I will break here at the Dose, I get from Rob, because Rob will be like, dude, you got to see this crap. You're not going to believe it. And so I will grab it. That is why he is a contributor here to the Dose. But we always appreciate your visits, and we always love when you get to come in and talk some football with us.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a highlight for me. You know, for most people, preseason is when, you know football here. But when I'm doing the Daily Dose, that's how I know it's time for football.
It is a good time. And every year, you know, we get together and do this, and every year it's more fun. It's always a good time. Rob, we always appreciate you stopping by, but be ready because you're going to have to do it for another 2 weeks in a row.
Absolutely. I'll see you soon.
Hey, next week on The Dose, just like we talked about with Rob, we are going to be bringing you our annual NFL preview. We just might have a couple of other guests joining us too. We'll be previewing every single team in the entire NFL and let you know what to expect this year in the king of sports here in the USA. Yes, the National Football League. So be sure to tune in next week and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to Big Rob for all that you contribute to the Daily Dose. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the articles, for sharing the videos with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week and enjoy the kickoff of college football. I think he's got an uphill battle. And the toughest part is he can't even walk up that hill with both feet.